correctly with the correct amount.
D20 Radio, your gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Roll for initiative.
Welcome, everyone, to the Roll for Initiative podcast. I'm Vince McMahon, along with Jason the Body Ventura and the Macho Man Nick Savage. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
Yeah, we have a great show for you tonight. Jason's here as usual. I'm here. Nick's here. And what are you guys, starting with Jason, how's your gaming been going last week?
Oh, well, you know, I'm kind of taking a little bit of a break for all of the holiday stuff that's going on right now. So not much to report back this week.
Definitely. All the holidays come up. By the time this comes out, people will be rolling into Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody in the States.
Although, happy actually, birthday. Now that you mention it, I guess I think it's this week that the New York Red Box is going to be having another Gamma World session. So I'll be over playing that this week. So at least I'll get some of that in.
Oh, you're so lucky. Nick, what about you gaming wise?
Well, I had a big weekend in gaming. Well, for one, it was our annual potluck dinner for our game night every November that we have. And that went very, very well. Everybody brings something that they make and have a nice big old feast for the whole gaming group. And so that was really enjoyable. And this is my my friend Jeff's game, the Quest for Bob, that's been going on. And it was awesome. My magic user was lucky enough to get pretty much a hold of an entire research library.
Ooh.
And amongst the books are 22 spell books.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like totally set.
Nice. Yeah. Let's see. I haven't really been doing much either. I was trying to get a game going on Saturday night, but it was me and one of the listeners, Crispy, was on. We were trying to figure out a game, but we didn't realize that there was a game being run, and you too can join that game on Saturday nights. It is run by Drama Man, and it's 7 to 10 Central Time on Skype. Come to our forums, and he has a topic there, and I believe it was Goblins Searching for Silver or Silver something.
Yeah, it's AD&D First Edition Goblin, all the silver we can find.
There we go. That's the topic. Go in there. He's looking for a few more players, so if you want to join up, by all means, throw your name up there.
Yeah, and there, just in case anybody is interested, it's actually a Goodman Games Dungeon Crawl Classic that they're running, so that's pretty cool.
Very nice.
Nice. Yeah, so yeah, definitely go there. And that's about it. I haven't really been doing much. I mean, other than the actual play podcast, which we canceled on Thursday because a couple people had to drop out, and then Skype was doing its evil, you know, dastardly, you're not letting people connect. So I hate when that happens.
We might want to talk about our respective actual plays, because I've been unable to keep mine going for the past couple of weeks just because of responsibilities coming in. We might want to see if there's something we can do.
Yeah, all right, we'll
keep everybody playing. We'll talk about that.
Email.
Yep.
All right, so Nick, do we have any stars of this week?
This week for Pimping for Stars, nothing new this week. So,
okay.
Yep. Nothing new, but just remind everybody, yes, you can go to iTunes and check for RFI Podcast or
Roll for Initiative. Yeah, you won't find it if you search for RFI Podcast.
Okay, Roll for Initiative. So, actually, and
if you check,
let us know what you think of the show.
If you get RFI Podcast, you'll find the actual play, which is kind of weird.
I see.
Which is cool. Yeah. I mean, we like that. We want people to check it out. Mm-hmm. But
check those out.
Yeah, definitely. If you're looking for us on iTunes, search for Roll for Initiative.
Roll for Initiative Podcast, and you'll find us.
Oh, and one more thing kind of tied in with iTunes is everybody, the iPhone app. It also works on regular iPod because I just got an iPod a few weeks ago and I downloaded the app and it is awesome. So
for the iPod Touch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent.
So it works on iPod Touch as long as you have, I guess, operating system 4.0 or better, you're good to go.
So I did just get a word from the folks over at Wizard Media who make the app That there will be an Android version coming out soon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Don't have a date on it yet, but for all the Android fans out there, we'll be taking care of them too.
That's great. I just had my friend Jeff ask me about that yesterday because he has a Droid. So
soon enough, we will soon enough.
And speaking about the app on iTunes, the holidays are coming up, so it'd be a great opportunity to buy the app for a loved one, or maybe even grab a T-shirt for the loved one or yourself for Christmas.
Yeah, iTunes lets you do a gift of an app. I think if you go to iTunes and you go like you're going to buy an app for yourself, you can gift it to somebody else.
Yes.
So you can do that. If you want to give a gift to someone as part of the Christmas thing, drop us a line and we will, maybe send an email saying Merry Christmas, from the RFI staff to kind of go along with it.
Definitely. And the T-shirts, are there any sales on the T-shirts for the holidays, Jason, that you know of? Or?
No, I guess we could see about dropping the price down or doing something. Yeah. I don't know if there's any official stuff because we do it through Spreadshirt. But I'll make sure that we put something up on the site.
Definitely.
If anybody wants that.
Check it out. Support the cast. We'd appreciate it. And speaking about supporting the cast, Jason, 1 year. It's our birthday.
Yeah. Is this – I'm not good with dates, but basically something like a one-year anniversary of the show.
1 year ago. Wow. I went to the forums and I said, hey, I'm thinking about starting up a first edition AD&D podcast. And Jason, you were the first one to jump all over the idea and email me and say, yes, I want to do that. And thus, the show was born.
Yeah, we were talking about it while I was actually driving back to New York from somewhere. I had to, pull off at a rest stop and delay my trip for about an hour while we talked about all of that.
Yeah, it was really cool. Well, that's how the show was born. We started doing all the different pieces for the show, writing things out and planning. And then a few shows later, Nick was born into the show.
I was born? No, I was hatched.
All right, fine. So since this is our actual happy birthday show, let's reflect for a moment and think about your favorite moment from the past, starting with Jason.
So, yeah, I've got a lot. I just wanted to kind of make a little bit of a list of some of these things. My first favorite moment, other than the show actually starting and, getting on iTunes and all that kind of stuff, was our first guest, which was Eric Brindle-something, who is the creator of Dragon's Fire, and having him on, just that whole moment of going from looking at an old ad in a Dragon magazine to actually being able to track down the guy and bring him on the show. And all of the guests we've had have been highlights for me. Margaret Weiss, especially some of her stories, about TSR back in the day. When we went to Gen Con and got a lot of great people there, especially, obviously, Frank Mentzer and Jim and Debbie from Gamers Rule, which was superb.
Yeah.
When we've had some of the people, joining the show in general. So obviously you mentioned Nick joining. That was a big highlight. Getting on the site itself when we got PC Buzz and Todd Hughes joining up and writing stuff, and then getting Matt as our producer. It's just been a lot of moments like that where we've gotten people to join up to the show itself or come on as guests. Or any of those things, or just any time we get out there and meet people, it's all been highlights. That's the ones I can think of.
Cool. And we'll head over to Nick.
Oh my gosh. Obviously being asked to come on as another guest for the show, that was huge. And I thank you both for letting me come on and be a part of this thing, because it means a lot that I could give back to the community, to the hobby that has given me so much enjoyment through all the years. So it's a great way of feeling like, giving back to everything that means so much to me. Some other things I would say, definitely all of the guests that we've had on have been really enjoyable. Especially the last one that we had with Dan Carlin and Hardcore History. That was really enjoyable for me because, it's like two history guys getting together. Look out.
Yeah.
And, our little debate about the cleric.
Yeah.
That was actually really fun, you know, and
Blood Weapons.
And the nice thing about that, I think, because, you know, being a highlight for me is, even though we might disagree on it, we're all cool with it.
Oh, yeah. I think. That's the whole purpose, yeah.
I guess. Maybe.
You guess.
But, and all those things that Jason mentioned, too, all those other things, and knowing that every time that we hear that, you know, we're getting more people to listen, you know, the word of mouth, it's really spreading by word of mouth, or you would say through the wonderful world of the interwebs, you know, we're growing and people are, you know, responding to what we're doing, giving feedback to us, giving us ideas for shows. And it's really all been great. I'm just having the best time right now, probably of my whole gaming experience, just in these past few years, especially now, by contributing to RFI.
Cool. Thanks, Nick.
You're welcome, Bits.
So what about yours, Vince?
My favorite moment other than... Yes, I'll tell you now. Okay. probably was putting the post in the forum and having Jason excitedly contact me back, and we discussed it for like that whole entire weekend practically. Writing stuff down, you know, emailing. That was probably the best part, that someone actually took as much enthusiasm as I did with doing this, so I was happy about that. But as far as shows go, my favorite show probably had to be the Demon Show, when the thing kept screwing up on us. And
oh my gosh, yeah, that's right. I had to use my phone.
And Nick had to go on the phone to talk to us, and then he had to leave finally because it took us so long. And it was just,
funny. It's hilarious.
Probably the second best one was the Insanity Rules episode, when Jason's like, yeah, I thought it meant Insanity Rules. And obviously getting to meet Frank Mentzer in person, someone that I've, you know, always played his games and, like, seen his name on everything. So just sit down with him in the room was kind of amazing. So, and of course, Margaret Weiss, lovely Margaret Weiss, just her products I've seen throughout the time, and actually getting to meet her at Gen Con was amazing. It's just, you know, kind of intimidating at first, but, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be my favorite moments. And of course, Nick joining the show. Yes, Jeff.
You know, yeah, I left a couple out that are, you know, everything's standing out so much in my mind. But, you know, the Jeff Grubb one was a really big one, because when you mentioned Margaret, the thing about everybody who we've met who's in the, you know, these giants in the gaming industry are such just – they're gamers. You know, it's just gamers. Yeah, everybody's just so cool.
And I'm kind of sad that, you know, Gary or Dave aren't around anymore. I mean, they passed on. I think they would have looked at this podcast and would have been like, oh, that's really cool, double thumbs up. And it would have been awesome. I mean, really awesome. I don't know about you guys, but just to have Gary sit down with us and talk on the podcast as a guest host.
Yeah, it's a sad opportunity missed. But hopefully they're rolling some dice somewhere, watching from up above.
Definitely, and praising us, saying, awesome, guys. Good, thank you.
Well, I hope so, but...
Well, I'm
hopefully
sure.
Keeping the tradition going. That's how I look at it, too.
Yeah, they're probably saying, thanks, guys, for keeping the game alive, so...
Yeah. And, you know, the one other guest I really wanted to mention but forgot to just a minute ago was all the guys from Dead Game Society over in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yes.
We consider them our kindred spirits in the Midwest, so...
Yeah. Excuse me, wow, I lost my voice. I'm so choked up. I'm verklempt.
I love you guys.
Yeah. No.
I love you, man.
Yeah, man.
Even though I tried to kill your character.
Hey. Nick, Blunt Weapons, that's all I have to say. tell us, why don't you guys go to the forum, start a topic, and tell us your favorite moment for the past year. Let's hear what you have to say, what you like.
I want to hear the biggest screw up, the crappiest moment in the year. I want to hear the don't ever do that one again on your show moment.
Yeah. And I'd like to thank, actually, we should probably definitely thank the creators. I shouldn't say the creators, but the voiceover actors for Thane.
Oh, well, and the creators of.
Yeah, he's also the creators of, yeah.
Yes, well, we'll keep Thane's identity secret.
Of course. We thank Thane himself. Yeah. And Glenn.
And you know, since we're mentioning people joining the staff and everything else, Lass for, you know, joining as a forum moderator.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, with saying all these names, I'm sure we're missing somebody, so I just want to apologize right now for the person that I'm forgetting, because it's probably
our wonderful producer, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, the person I'm forgetting is probably the most important one, and that's probably why I'm forgetting. So whoever I just left out, I'm sorry, because I know you were the most important one.
And thanks to Glenn for the lumpers. We like the, definitely love the audio drama. Appreciate that. Anyone else, like Jason said, we didn't remember, we appreciate you too. Especially Matt, who sits in the background quietly to deal with our show the whole time.
Our shenanigans.
Our shenanigans. Hey, don't say shenanigans. So, thanking everybody, we're going to look over onto the site. We have an article you wanted to talk about, Jason?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if this will be up by the time the podcast goes live or not, but we have a cool new one that is in the way, or in the queue, and it is called The Deck of Dooms. Cool. So for anybody who is a fan of the Deck of Many Things, PC Buzz is putting together The Deck of Dooms to go along with that. And the one other piece of news I wanted to mention is that the module which Todd Hughes is working on, his latest module, which is called the Equinox Demon, or the Equinox Demon, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but the Equinox Demon is nearly finished. We're working on the layout and the artwork, and should not be too long before that is ready. It'll be the first module that is released as a Roll for Initiative special bonus. So sweet. Excited about that.
Nice.
Oh, and everybody who keeps asking on the forums, the DM screen is still being worked on. The artwork is still being worked on. And as soon as we get the artwork done, it'll be released.
Yeah, so that's actually something I want to ask any of our listeners. We were originally planning to put this out through a print-on-demand company that did those types of things specifically. We still may be able to do it that way, but we're looking around for other options. So if anybody has any ideas about print-on-demand for DM screens or other options we might look at, just drop us a line and we'll work that one out.
Definitely. Okay. I think that's about it for the news and the show notes. Let's head into Sage Advice.
Sage Advice.
And welcome to Sage Advice. So before we go into everything, I just want to remind everybody how you can submit your questions for Sage Advice. You can email us, rfistaff@gmail.com.
Yay.
You can leave us a voicemail, and you can do that by calling 570-865-4210.
Oh, my God. He said it right this time.
That is 57... 086-5-4210. And you can also send us mail. You can send us postal mail. Go on to our website, rfipodcast.com. Down at the bottom, you will see our mailing address. And we give extra priority to actual physical postcards and letters and things like that that come in. So that's another way you can get a hold of us.
Yeah, and we challenge the shadow to write us again, because I haven't heard from the shadow in a while.
Yeah, that was great.
Anybody who sends us mail gets 100 experience points.
Exactly. Use them as you will.
Minus 99, though.
All right, so starting with Roger.
Mm-hmm.
He asks, I run a group that has a married couple as two of my players. They're already kind of on the rocks, and I think we're getting sort of a click and clack the Tappet Brothers here. We're going to do relationship advice.
Yeah.
Okay, they're already kind of on the rocks, and the husband is, well, to put it frankly, he isn't grasping the rules of the game. He's disruptive, and he's constantly questioning my intentions of killing the players. I'm kind of ridiculously lucky when it comes to crits, but I'll start pulling my punches if I'm getting close to total group death. Okay, story trumps all to me. We've put off playing because we like to be able to talk about the game publicly, but we don't want to play with the guy. I'd just kick him out, but I don't want to be another source of issues between them, and, well, we like her, but she's constantly defending the guy. Yes, they have problems. Any advice on how to proceed would be awesome. So, what do you do when you've got personal issues of any type coming up in the middle of your game?
Gosh.
Any of you guys ever... dealt with this before?
Married couple fighting during a game? Not really, honestly.
I mean, this could apply to a lot of things. I mean, not just a married couple, but I mean, anytime you've got this kind of personal issues coming up like this.
probably the best bet to do is just say, listen, we can't, no offense, we can't take your husband, and we're going to have to say goodbye to both of you. You're ruining the group.
I don't know if I'd be quite as blunt as that, but yeah.
That's the direct approach, or you can do the indirect approach, just don't call him again.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I think you're probably right, is that you don't want to put any more tension in, you know, Roger. You might not want to say, okay, you can play, but your husband can't. Before you do, though, I mean, see if there's some way that you can maybe straighten this out so they can both play, because it's a real shame to lose your players. So if you – I don't know, obviously, you know, I just know what's written here in the email. But, you know, if you can talk to the husband separately and say, you know, don't be antagonistic. Don't tell him you're being a so-and-so and all those kind of things. But just try to find out what's making it so that he's not having fun. Because if he's being disruptive and, you know, doing these kind of things, then something – it's about him not having a good time. See if there's some way you can do that. You know, if it means maybe sitting down with him for a couple of one-on-one sessions so that he can grasp the rules a little bit better. Maybe he's playing a character class that's difficult for him to grasp. I don't know what he's playing, but I'd try that first.
Yeah.
Well, you know, usually go to him. I mean, obviously, it's good that his wife is taking his side. I would hope so. That maybe that says better things for their relationship. So see if you can get him on a positive note first.
Sounds like he's being disruptive because he either doesn't want to play the game or he's just there because his wife is there.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, maybe he's just doing, you know, if he's getting upset because players are getting killed or whatever, maybe he's not, you know, doing well, and it's no fun to do badly in a game.
No.
Right. Maybe it could be just as simple as he just doesn't want to play. Yeah. And like you're saying, he's just going along just to go along. But I never had a real serious problem with this. I've had issues with players, one in particular, but I always say, you know what, when you come over and play, try the best as you can. Leave your problems at the door. Don't bring them in here, and don't let it come over into the game, because we're all here to enjoy ourselves and to socialize and have fun. So kind of everybody try to leave that stuff separate, but sometimes you can't, and then you try to deal with it in the most delicate way possible, I suppose.
You know, the other thing, he doesn't say how long they've been playing necessarily, or, you know, anything like that if he's very new to the game. But somebody who was demoing a game at a convention once, you know, I came up and played it with him, and he had a good saying for me about when you've got a new player trying to get into something. He said, always let the Wookiee win.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you've got somebody who's new and they're just getting into the game, they're not going to have a good time if you're killing their player left and right, and they're every time they're trying to do something, you're like, well, that's not in the rules. You can't do that. So I would really encourage, see if there's some way that you can make him feel like he's doing better at the game, that he's having a good time, and you can kind of work him into that, because it's always better to turn a problem player into a happy player than it is to just have to kick someone out. But if you have to kick them out, kick them both out, like Vin says.
Or you can give them all ice cream, because everybody likes ice cream.
Yeah, it works after 12, Nick. If they're not, then it won't work. So,
oh, I'm just saying.
So that's basically what we have to say about that, Roger. And we're sorry about the situation. I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens.
Let us know how it goes.
Definitely. Okay. Next letter comes from Drake. And he says, our group has gotten to such high levels in the past few years, my ranger is level 25, that we find the challenge of the game a bit dull, and we're wondering how you would handle this situation. Do you just roll new characters and retire the old ones, or maybe work them into a new campaign world somehow, or find other alternatives? Thanks.
Well, I mean, the time-honored practice for us has always been when your players are getting... your characters are getting so high level, that's when it's time for them to start settling down, establishing their strongholds, keeps, druidic forests, or whatever. And yeah, so you're kind of retiring them. If you want to take it on into the point of your engaging in these big political struggles and, you know, you're taking it out of the just one-on-one adventure, that's kind of interesting. Or you can just retire them and they become heroes and legends that your next characters aspire to be like.
Or I was thinking about this. You can use those characters as, like Jason said, to retire them as Lords of the Land, put them into the new campaign as, like, contacts or something. People that, like, you know in the kingdom, you can go for, like, you know, reference for this or that, or need some help, you go to them for advice. Something like that.
Mm.
Nick?
Give them ice cream. No, no.
Nick.
ice cream. You know, there's a lot of ways you can go by this. I mean, if they haven't done it already, high enough player characters, I don't know, take them on a big old multi-planar campaign throughout the planes, you know? Something like that. Or
grab the Immortals, you know, like, rock set.
Yeah. Or, you know, have them, have them, quote unquote, settle down and become the lords of the land. And, you know, maybe a new campaign where, you know, several decades or centuries in the future where these characters have become legends and the new ones hear about their old characters in what certain fashion through tales and stories. So just cool. A few ideas.
All right, cool. Tell us what you do. What happens, Drake? We want to know. And our next letter, Nick?
Yeah. We got our, looks like our last write-in from Tessa. And Tessa asks, or says, I listen to your podcast whenever I make NPCs or work on campaign plot. I really enjoy it. I don't play old school, but I find your advice helpful even for Pathfinder and 3.5 editions. I'm writing in to ask about a specific monster, the Lich.
Number one, the Lich.
Here you go. The Lich. I'm looking to use one as the big, bad, evil guy in my campaign I'm DMing. I'm not quite sure how to use him in battle. He has to be a magic user, create a phylactery. Yep. But this makes him weak in combat, having to rely on minions. But Liches also have great touch attacks, and they could be really nasty against players. Have any of you used the Lich against your players? And what kind of tactics would you recommend? So, Vince, any ideas for the Lich?
I've never actually used the Lich at all.
Mm.
Never.
But if you would, what would you think of doing?
I give him ice cream.
Now I'm living to regret that.
Yes, you are. I don't know how I would use a Lich. I mean, I would probably keep him in the background and try to have him every once in a while launch up to do his touch attack, but try to stay away from the players so he doesn't get hit. But he does have a pretty good armor class, so. I don't really know. I really never thought about a Lich to use a Lich. I'm sorry.
Well, I haven't done that. I have not had a Lich in my games either. But the sort of general thing that I would say about some of these really big, bad, evil guys is that it's a lot more fun sometimes to have them controlling the minions and, you know, never being the one you actually get to go up against, that they wouldn't stick around to try to be destroyed, you know, or go into that. I think the Lich is a lot more interesting if the combat never occurs one-on-one with them, which, okay, it's a little bit of a cop-out. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's a lot more amazing when the monster in the dark never comes out to fight, so to speak.
True.
So maybe we should be doing a little bit of looking into liches and consider it for a future show.
Because,
you know, you raise a good point. We haven't really taken much look into it.
No.
But I think, you know, as far as, you know, whether this is between Pathfinder or First Edition or anything, I think probably, you know, reasonably similar approaches, you know, would make sense. So I'm glad to hear that people are listening to the show for Pathfinder type of stuff as well, because I think it's relevant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay. So, Nick, did you answer this one at all? Or?
Well, the only thing I had ideas, like, if I were going to use a Lich in my campaign, which no one might pop up, I envision the Lich using, like, minions. But minions that I think would be either undead, like ghouls, ghasts, things of that nature. Not necessarily a whole lot of skeletons or zombies, but maybe. But I envision them using minions like a little more of the intelligent type undead. Also, for other minions, I can picture a lich making a lot of things like we had that Caryatid column. Mm-hmm. I can picture a lich using something like that. I picture lots of traps being used in its lair if they finally get to there, you know, a la Tomb of Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that a lich might enlist certain evil magic users or clerics to help it get to its ultimate goal and maybe work through them to get to its ultimate aims of destroying the group or, you know, getting the great MacGuffin, whatever the lich is trying to get or something like that. So I kind of see a lot of that happening too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the lich is that it's not necessarily such an incredibly powerful one-on-one opponent to face so much as it is, like you say, you know, all of the intelligence that it has to command all these minions and those types of things. And a lich is not, I mean, by the very nature of what they are, you know, they're these creatures that just refused to die, essentially. This is a magic user who said, death is just not it for me. I don't care if I've hit my natural age or whatever. I'm going to keep on going. And they've gone to the point of, you know, storing their soul in the phylactery, etc. I think their very personality is going to be one of not sticking around to get killed.
They're
trying to escape.
They're going to be looking at ways to work through other things, through other maybe prominent evil NPCs, so they can do the ultimate thing is live forever. And I would say liches are obsessive about being immortal. And yes, they'll do whatever it is to remain immortal. So in that respect, they're like the amongst the ultimate of evil creatures that you can, you know, run into. I mean, just like vampires, they want to stay immortal and stay to where they are, the vampires forever. So a lich would want to be the same way. I can see even a lich and a vampire in some way, maybe even working together in some sort of fashion.
Hmm, that'd be interesting.
Very interesting.
Hmm.
So there you go. We'll try to revisit the lich more at a later date, but I guess kind of what we're agreeing on at this point is that you probably don't want the lich coming out to fight one-on-one, that this is a creature who's all about not dying, so keep that big, bad, evil guy in the background, so to speak.
Yeah, hiding behind something, like Jason said, being the puppet master.
Yes. Okay, so now we'll go to the voicemail from Lass, and why don't we go ahead and leave Sage Advice, and we'll play it as the beginning of our table manners. So here we go from there.
Typical. Of all the evil creatures in the world, I'd like to find one with table manners.
And what, are you kidding me? I spent years cultivating the worst table manners on the planet.
Table manners.
All right, here we go on the table manners, everyone. And this topic we're going to talk about is sandbox adventures, or, you know, homebrew adventures. And let's go into that with our voicemail from Lass.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, fellas, it's Lass once again. Hope you're not getting sick of me. So here's a question for you guys. This one I raised up on the forums. I recently found myself playing in a sandbox campaign, and it went absolutely terrible. The DM didn't know what he was doing, and as such, the players, we didn't know really what to do, where to go, who to kill, and then ended up just sitting around a tavern, RPing among ourselves. Ended up looking like the real-world Greyhawk. So if you could give me some advice, both from a player and from a GM perspective, how should a sandbox campaign be run effectively? Cheers.
Well, we'll never get sick of your voicemails, never.
No, not at all. Keep sending them in every week. Not at
all. All right, yeah. So you guys got to help me out a little bit here, because sandbox adventure. Give me a description.
Okay.
Give me a definition of sandbox adventure.
Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, well, sandbox adventure or sandbox campaign, I think she's really talked about in a larger scale, is where the campaign world, there are no set pre-made modules or adventures. Everything generally the DM does is pretty much on the fly. He might have some notes, some information about the game world that they're in, but all in all, it's up to the players to interact with the world and make things happen without using any like pre-published modules and what have you. So that's pretty much like a sandbox.
Right.
Okay. So it sounds to me off the bat, like if you're going to run a sandbox, you've better have a lot of the world in your head, because people are going to be just going anywhere they feel like. You don't have a specific story in mind for the day. You're just basically running around the world that the DM has in their mind or on their paper, right?
Right.
That does not sound like novice material.
No, it's definitely not novice material.
So maybe definitely there's not. The first thing. If you've got somebody who's a new DM or who has not had a lot of time to spend thinking about their campaign, because you know we're adults, we run out of time sometimes, then don't sandbox it.
No.
Yeah. Or if you are going to do a sandbox, try to have as much information, and I'm talking DM wise, being the DM doing this, you need to have as much information about your game world that you want, hopefully either written down or in a computer somewhere, or if you're really, really good, just have it all in your head and know how it all works. I mean, so make sure that you have everything that you need right there. Or if you're really that good, if you could do it like right on the fly like that and just however it goes, you know, go for it. But I just feel just some sort of notes has to be for the DM.
Yeah, sandbox adventures are not for new DMs. New DMs should probably stick to either doing a module or at least writing things on a piece of paper, creating your own module. Definitely. I could tell you, if you want a good example of a sandbox or a life adventure with sort of a purpose, listen to my podcast, Actual Play. A lot, 3/4 of it is all on the fly DMing. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
Well, there's not much we can really say for the players. You know,
There's a lot.
Okay,
to say.
Yeah. What could you say?
I could say, as far as on the player side, is, I guess, you got to do your part as being a player. You just can't just sit there and have the DM expect to spoon feed you everything. You have to be proactive and interact with the world that the DM is presenting with you, especially with a sandbox campaign, because it's more on the player side to do everything. With something that's not a sandbox, you're doing some sort of maybe pre-published game world like World of Greyhawk or Forgotten Realms, and you're using mostly modules, you know, you're going to have those plot hooks out there and what a DM will do. But if you're doing, I'm talking just like 100% sandbox, yeah, it's a lot more on the players. And some players are really uncomfortable with that because they're used to having everything spoon-fed to them as far as, you know, having things happen. So,
okay, well, I don't know. I guess I'd take a little bit of an issue with the phrase spoon-fed, because that sounds kind of derogatory to me. Because if you're talking about, okay, as the DM's not giving us any external motivation to do anything, then you've got to role play and try to figure out, okay, so if I am this cleric of Thor in this town, what am I going to do? What am I going to spend my day with? Where am I going to go? And let's see if the DM has something to do it to react to it.
Yeah, I guess spoon fed was not the proper term. I just couldn't think of anything else to say. But yeah, I guess the matter of expectation of the DM doing a lot of the plot hooking for you and
having a story in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so whether it's a module or whether the DM has written the adventure themselves, I kind of think I would be one of the players that would be uncomfortable with a DM who didn't have any external motivators already set up, who didn't have something in mind, you know, ready to go. I would prefer them to at least have thought about, why are we here? This is a game. This is a story. Please have a story in mind. If you're just creating a world to go around and see what we can do, maybe that's appealing more to somebody who falls a little harder on the role play side, somebody who's more of a Cthulhu type player that really just wants to go and they're not even worried as much about, I don't care about rolling the dice. I got a story of my own to tell as a character.
It's also a player's responsibility to take a hook when a DM sends it out and not be stubborn about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole like, well, you see the fire raging in the orphanage. We're going to go to the bar.
Yeah.
You know, well, go along with what they're doing.
It's cool if you want to ignore certain things, but if a DM keeps throwing hooks out at you, like you see a small halfling pick the pocket of a man at the bar and quickly run to another halfling, hand the money over to him and run out the door. I mean, there's a hook. Go after them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be stubborn.
Oh, those halfling pickpockets. Leave them alone.
Ah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, try to have fun.
But okay, other tips for players other than that, but that's all I can really think of. But for DMs, at least if you're going to run, I call these, instead of sandbox, I call it either life adventures or on-the-fly adventures.
I like that, life adventures. That's good.
That's a great Joe. That's the great Joe DM term. He always called because I would always ask him, what's the name of this campaign? He would just go, life.
Vince, when are you going to get Joe on the show?
You know, a lot of people have asked me that. I cannot find him.
Go find him. Get him on the show if he exists.
He does exist. And maybe with your resources, Jason, of finding things, maybe we'll talk after the show and you can help me.
Okay, maybe we'll try to hunt him down.
We'll get those kobolds working on it.
He is in New York. I know that much. And he's in Long Island, New York. And he is a great DM. If I could find him again, I would love to play in a game with him again. But for DM tips, do yourself a favor. Write things down as far as, like, just certain scenario plot points. Like, you want this to happen. You want that to happen. Even if the players don't go for it, you just cross it out. Go on to the next thing.
Okay, you know, that's a good point now that you bring it up about if you're running a sandbox or a life adventure or something like that, it seems that your record keeping is going to be a lot more important.
Yeah.
Because you need to know things like, what time of day is it right now? What is the weather like? How much has everybody had to eat? Where are all the various NPCs at any given time? So that when they go into a building or when they go out into the countryside, you know what's actually going on. You're not kind of just, I wonder what'll happen, you know, what will happen now. You know, it is 6 o'clock in the evening, the time when the dragon normally leaves his lair, and they happen to be going by at that time. Aha, something happens.
You're definitely going to have at least one sandbox town or city or village written up somehow.
Right,
yeah.
You have to have it. That's important to have that.
And those are, you know, it's a lot of fun to make your own, obviously. That's something that can take up a lot of fun weekends
You
know, just time sitting around making those. But
when you should be,
you
working.
Don't have to.
Yeah.
There's some really good ones out there, and there's a couple that I would recommend as my favorites. One of them is not actually published for AD&D. It's not published for D&D at all, but it's the Thieves World city. So now I'm stalling to try to remember the name of Sanctuary. So you can actually pick up a book called Shadowspawn. I think it's Shadowspawn's Guide to Sanctuary, which is a really good one, especially if you read those books, because you'll already probably have the city of Sanctuary in your mind. Or you can go to the Judges Guild, the famous city by the Judges Guild, City State of the World Emperor.
I could do one even better if you're completely lazy and don't feel like making up all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to a website called, I'm looking at the name now. It looks like mathmagician.net, and he has a town city generator.
Yeah, there's a lot of those kinds out
there. This is not the basic one. It goes as far as, because I printed one out before the show, for example, just for this. It gives you how much the town is worth in wealth, who the captain of the guard is, who is on the militia. It goes as far as listing how many shops are in the town, who owns the shops, what stuff is in the shops.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you various NPCs in the town. So the town has 100 people, it'll give you 100 NPCs. No, they're not statted out, but they'll give you, for example, it'll say Thane.
Well, you can grab any rogues gallery if you just need to pull up an NPC at any given time.
Yeah, it says for example, Thane, half-elf, female, commoner, barmaid, fascinated by magic and distrustful of why would she be fascinated and distrustful at the same time?
Well, I think it makes perfect sense. Yeah. No, it does. I mean, fascinated and distrustful of it. Something that she's, you know, it's like fire. You
know, yeah, I hate fire. Spiders, but I fascinate them at the same time. So.
They even go as far as the tavern and inn, listing the staff, what time the rotations of the staff are. So at 12,
this thing is cool.
Yeah, like at 12 o'clock, it'll have who is on staff. It'll tell you who's entertainment, what important people come to the bar. And then 2 o'clock, it'll be the new staff. They go as far as even putting out, where is that? What's the menu? Where's breakfast, lunch, dinner? What drinks are there? Who's singing at certain times?
That's cool.
Yeah, this is a really
definitely got to put that in the show notes.
What's this URL again?
It is www.mathemagician.net.
And so Mathe.
Yeah,
so
I thought it was Math Magician at first, but now I'm looking, it's like Math A, so.
Hold on. Huh. I'm getting actually a really completely different, I'm getting somebody's PhD website. So.
There's a slash.
So, M-A-T-H-E.
Uh-huh.
Magician.
Dot net.
Uh-huh.
And then slash D, and then the letter N, and then D again.
Okay. It's not working for me either. So we'll just have to put this up in the show notes so I can find it later. But that sounds like a really cool tool. I'd love to be able to see it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and you know, if you have a favorite fictional world that you like to read about or watch in films or anything, you've probably got a lot of a world in your head, you know, already there too. So combine these things together, and I can see making a sandbox would work pretty well for that.
Cool. You know, this is actually a good point where I was talking about this whole thing, putting this on the show this week, is there was kind of a debate going on the forums at Dragonfoot, on Dragon's Foot. Basically pre-planned, you know, or say sandbox versus modules. And there was a debate. Yeah.
Was it that, or was it the idea of writing your own versus playing a pre-published module?
Well, yeah. Either writing your own versus buying a module and using that. And one of the debates was a person was saying that basically if you're using pre-published, modules or what have you, that you're not a good DM and you're lazy.
Oh, so disagree with that. I couldn't possibly disagree with that more.
And I totally disagree with it.
Let me try really hard. Nope, can't disagree anymore. I completely disagree with it.
And I thought, no, it has nothing to do with DM ability.
I'll tell you right now, it is a lot easier to write your own and run it than it is to run one that somebody else has written.
It can
be. That's harder.
It can be.
You've got to learn their world. You've got to get in their heads. You've got to memorize those things. You've got to actually take, it's a lot harder to just pull something on the fly. If you've got your own that you've written up, you've got it in your head, and it's very easy to take liberties with it and to kind of shuffle them around. Right. If you're reading somebody else's, you've actually got to try to if you go off script, so to speak, you could completely screw up where it's going, and it's actually a lot more difficult. So you basically have to do all the work of reading it and learning it, plus the work of thinking about how you would create it for yourself. It's double the work.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on how well the module is written, I guess, how much work a DM has to put it into their own game world or into a pre-existing one that they bought. For me, I use almost exclusively modules. Mm-hmm. I do a couple of things that are on my own, but not often. And it's really because of time. I don't have a whole lot of time to make up adventures. It's because, I got a wife and kids. I have a family to think about, and I got other things going on. And I don't have a whole lot of time like I was 12 years old sitting around making up my own game world. I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But
see, it's so funny because for me, that's the reason that I'm running in the play-by or the Skype game. That's the reason I am running one that I came up with, because I don't have the time to learn what's in the module. It's it's a lot of work.
For me, it's a lot easier to read a module and to redo it if I'll read through it, and if there's things I have to change here and there, just a few things, and that tells me that's a good module for me. If I don't have to change a whole lot, if I have to change more than half the darn thing, actually, I should say, if I have to change a whole lot, I'm not going to use it. I'm going to use something else. So it's just, for me, it's easier to work with something that is pre-published, so I can modify it. And so far, it's been working okay. So,
but I wish I did.
Yeah, I wish I did
have more time.
But I agree. There's no relation between how your abilities of a DM are to, you know, and how good you are as a DM compared to, you know, if you're using pre-published or not. I mean, what do you think, Vince?
I don't see anything wrong with using pre-published modules, but I don't think you should insult someone by saying, you know, because they run pre-published modules that they're not better. They're not as good as someone things on the fly or writes their own stuff. Like, that was kind of harsh, but you did say that was kind of a person looking to agitate other people in the forum. So
yeah, and I just kind of like let it go. But
the question is, you know, how do you define what a good DM is? A good DM is somebody who can tell a good story, who can have everybody having a good time, and who knows the rules well enough to keep the action moving, and also knows when to just not bother thumbing through 100 pages of rule books and how to just keep the action going.
Yeah, those are all
about
my
how you play the game.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you know, you found a good DM is when you're sitting there in the game. He's like, okay, and it'll call for it, and you're like, oh, and like one of those. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with Jason. It's about, are you a good storyteller, communicator? Do you have knowledge of the rules? Are you a fair DM? Are you not being a jerk? So you're being a fair, kind of a neutral referee. And gosh darn it, what was another? Well, and so those things are good qualities.
Well, the other big quality I would say that makes a good DM is, you know, do you keep the players engaged, and are you able to take somebody and make them a better player? And the reason I'm thinking of that right now, so I'll go back to the New York Red Box, and the one person out of that group who I've played with as a DM when they've DM'd has been Tavis. And, you know, I've seen him DMing everything from Tower of Gygax to Gamma World to whatever, and he consistently – Or even just showing people how to play a game of Settlers of Catan. And he consistently is able to take somebody who maybe hasn't done it before or is newer to it and make them feel like they're playing on the same level as the person who is really experienced and has done it a lot. And that's a really important skill, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're engaging.
Yeah, so whether you play off of a module or you write it yourself, that's completely down to – Look, I would a lot of times like to play off the module because there's a really classic story that everybody's been wanting to play through. You know, everybody's saying, we really want to play Ravenloft. Well, all right, let's play Ravenloft.
Or everybody wants to do Temple of Elemental Evil, which seemed to be very popular for people to do because they love that. I mean, people want to have that shared experience, too, when they go to conventions and swap stories. Yeah, I remember when I went through Tomb of Horrors and my thief went into the pit and, you know, he, like, turned into a charcoal briquette and all the flames. That was really cool.
Isn't that the one that which one did Penny Arcade guys play?
That's the one.
Was it Elemental Evil or Tomb of Horrors?
They did both.
Tomb of Horrors.
I think they did both.
And they were upset because they died in it.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, come on.
Well, nonetheless, at least you can all talk about the same thing. At least you know that you died in the same thing.
Right. Exactly. Oh.
And I did find that address, Jason. I put it in Skype. It is mathamagician.town.html.
Cool. Looking at it now. Very neat.
Yes. And cool. We'll put that in the show notes so anyone can go to that and use it. It is awesome. It has a treasure generator in there, too. It is for 3.5, the treasure generator, but the town one is perfect to use for any edition D&D. So, really cool.
I don't know. Yeah. Does anybody else got any ideas as far as, like, you know, sandbox, campaign world, or pre-made adventures? I think we got some good stuff out there.
Plan, even if you can do it on the fly.
And then plan some more. So, let us know what you think. So email us at rfistaff.com
And do you really? What's? Let me go. Let me see what RFIstaff.com is now that you've given that address out.
We've gone successfully for 3 weeks in a row with Nick not giving the right email address out.
No! Well, okay. You can RFI? Email me, DM Nick at RFIstaff.com.
No!
Really?
I don't know. What is it? I forget.
When I stop laughing,
that's
I'll tell
the
you.
Kazakhstani embassy, man. What are you doing?
RFIstaff at gmail.com or DM Nick at RFIpodcast.com.
All right. Okay. Just email us. Get on the forums. Let us know what you think. And, yeah, what do you do for sandbox adventures, campaign worlds? What do you suggest? And, yeah, we'd love to hear from you on that somehow. If you can email us, if I can get the email out right. So I guess we'll, after this, we'll go into our creature feature theater.
Yes.
Creature theater.
And here we go into the Creature Feature Theater. And we have a guest DM this week, one of our listeners, Stephen McClanahan. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining.
Yes, mm-hmm. Wonderful to have you.
All right. So, Stephen, since you're DMing, why don't you just go ahead and kick us off?
Okay. Well, first, do you mind saying who your characters are?
Oh, right. So let's go down the line here. I'll start with mine. I've got Stanlim, the magic user, who's human and fourth level magic user, and you'll all learn a little bit about him as he trips over himself during this encounter.
Jeez. okay. I'll be playing as Caitlin, the swordsman. He's a level 4 fighter, and he's very strong. Nick?
Yes, I am playing Isaac, the curate, and
Isaac the carrot. What?
He's a curate.
Oh, okay. Curate. I thought you said Isaac.
This level.
You said
how about this?
Carrot.
Fourth level human cleric.
Thank you.
Like I'm a theurgist.
You're welcome. Ooh, gazootite.
There you go, Stephen.
Okay, so you guys are ready?
Yes.
Yep.
Ready to go.
Let's do this. Your party of mighty adventurers has been asked by the townspeople of Hatan to investigate the disappearance of a little boy just outside the town. Following a trail of clues, you quickly realize that the boy must have entered a cave, which in the past served as the site of a cult of Lolth. Following the boy's trail, you have fought your way past a group of bandits as well as a group of giant spiders through the cavern. After resting in one of the cave passages, you awake refreshed, ready to press on in your search. Your only options are to move forward or to go back the way you came.
I say we go back. Yeah, we go back.
Who's
end of
fighter? Okay, do you want cover. Fighter? You should lead the way, and maybe the cleric in the back, so I can stay safely in the middle, away from harm.
I think you should take a pole and go ahead of us and start tapping on the ground. Yes, of course we'll go in
good
front.
Good plan.
Yeah. I will go in front, walking around, searching, making sure no one's attacking us.
Okay. I'll take up the rear, mace in hand, make sure that nothing's coming up from behind.
Nothing's afoot.
Sounds good. Moving on down the tunnel, you come into a wide, dank cavern filled with stalactites and stalagmites glistening with moisture, as well as boulders lying across the stone floor. As you progress through the cavern, you come across a rippling stream of water about 30 feet across, clearly leading through a passage into the outside world. The question stands, how will you cross it?
Oh, if only I knew which were the stalactites and which were the stalagmites.
Stalactites hold tight to the ceiling.
I think they stand up tightly. So the river's blocking our path. Yes?
Yes.
And
it is obstructing.
Is it can we see kind of how it's entering and leaving?
It's leaving from two holes in the side of the walls. Like it's leading from possibly a cavern into the outside world on the other side.
The same width all along.
Yes, it's 30 feet across. You've got 30 feet to clear to get to the other side.
Let's disbelieve the water.
You disbelieve it, and it remains where it is.
Worth a shot.
Yeah. So how big are these stalactites or stalagmites?
Andor.
They're pretty big. Like, their base could be the size of one of the boulders on the ground.
Wow.
I can wonder... I have one of you roll a D6 for me, please?
Jason, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. One.
Your senses must be slow today, for you are surprised to see several of the boulders rising up off the ground, unfolding themselves into several humanoid shapes. From what you can see of their fronts, which is free of the coating of earth and shine on their backs, they appear to be pale humans wrapped in dirty strips of cloth. They shamble at you, fists raised.
Ah, shambling.
Oh, lovely.
All okay. Right. You're guess surprised?
Initiative, huh? Oh, surprised.
Yep. Oy. So, there are two of them. The first one will move to attack the cleric, and the second one will move to attack the fighter. So, we have rolling the first one misses the cleric.
Okay.
And the second one misses the swordsman.
Yeah. Nice. So they're kind of like humanoid rock people?
No. As they move towards you, you see what appeared at first glance to be the boulder, the shine, the coat that could have been the boulder's top starts to drip off their backs.
Oh, so it's almost like they were camouflaged, like they were in ghillie suits or something.
Yes.
How big are they?
They are man-sized.
Man-sized, okay. Ooh. Okay.
They appear to be humans, in very pale humans, wrapped in filthy white cloth. Bandages, yes. So I'm going to need your actions, gentlemen.
I am going to cast shield around the party, in front of the party.
Okay.
Yeah, and cleric here, I'm going to cast bless, so everybody will get at least a plus one to hit.
Okay, and the fighter?
He's going to take his longsword plus one and bash the nearest one that's close to him.
Okay, roll for initiative.
All right, I got it.
Got it, okay.
Five.
Okay, so they proceed first.
Nope. Are we going for low initiative?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
The first one, the cleric, or the one on the cleric, swings wildly and misses.
Yay.
What are they armed with?
Nothing. They're flailing at you with their fists.
Just claws and stuff.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
The second one on the fighter swings wildly as well.
See, when they shamble at you, they're no danger.
Yeah, I
know. Famous last words.
It's the ones that run, the George Romero.
Ooh, yeah.
So, it would appear to be Stonlom. You go first. Your spell is shield, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and what are the segments on that?
Takes one segment to cast. It's verbal and static, so I just say the words and move my hands, and now everybody has the equivalent of an armor class 2 in case they throw anything at us. And that's about all it's good for.
Okay. So you cast the spell. Are you prepared to cast the spell?
Yes.
It is Isaac's turn. Isaac, let off your bless. What is the
time segment on? One round. So next round, it'll take one round to cast. Next round, it'll go into effect.
Okay.
And it'll last for 6 melee rounds.
Okay. So, Kaelden, you may strike.
All right. Natural 20.
Woo-hoo! 20. Nice well roll. Done.
I wish I had a camera to take a picture of this. Lucky. Is it we doing crits or no crits?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We are doing crits. All right. Can you roll again, please?
Roll again. Okay. Four.
Four. Okay. It's just a normal hit. I play with confirmed criticals.
Ooh, third edition rule. Yuck.
I'm
never
sorry.
Heard of that, but it sounds good.
It works. Let's see here. 5 points of damage.
5 points of damage. Okay.
That's with doubling.
Yep. As you swing your mighty blade and slash into its body, a thick secretion, a sour-smelling glue-like substance pours out of its body in rags and sticks to your sword. And as you try to pull it away, you cannot.
OMG. I know what this is, too.
Oh. Nick sings his I Know What It Is song.
I'm not going to see anything. I know nothing.
So, new initiative. What is everybody doing?
Sleep.
Ooh, good sleep. Idea.
Okay. Well, your shield goes off.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Your shield goes off. So everybody now has the equivalent of armor class 2 for thrown weapons. And you're casting sleep now, correct? Mm-hmm. Are you? And what is the
bless
fighter
is in
and
effect
cleric?
Right now, too.
Yes, the bless is coming into effect. What is the fighter and the cleric doing right now?
Gee, what else do I have to hit with this thing that I won't lose my weapon?
Well, normal reaction for a fighter right now would be try to rip his weapon out. So that's what I'll be doing.
Okay.
Cleric?
Nick?
I'm thinking.
There's, not much time I have for no thinking in a battle, son.
I know. I have nothing that will help as far as spells. So, what the heck? I guess I will try to hit the thing as well. I mean, there's nothing else I can do.
Okay.
I'll hit it with my mace.
Initiative, please.
Oh, okay. One.
Woo!
Ooh. So, Stonlom, you go first. You let off your sleep spell, weaving the signs and chanting in your arcane tongue, and release the magic.
Squishing my life.
And they do not appear to fall asleep.
Oh.
Oh, it was my favorite cricket, too, and I've wasted it.
Oh, man.
So, it is now the fighter's turn. Kaelden, you will attempt to pull your sword off of it, or out of the creature's body.
Correct.
Please roll me a strength check.
What number do I need to get?
Under or below your strength.
Five.
Huh. So you've got it 13 below. Well done. Let me get... you tug and tug, but it does not seem to come loose.
Hmm.
Now, Isaac, you may swing.
All right. Six. I'm sure I missed.
You rolled a six? Okay.
Yeah, no modifiers.
And you miss.
Oh,
it is
good.
Their turn.
Actually, no, because I'm rethinking what I'm going to do next.
Okay. It is now their turn. The one that Kaelden struck will attempt to press farther on and swing at him with his fists. Hitting in the process.
Ow.
Ouch.
Dealing 1 point of damage.
Oh.
However, as he strikes you with his fists, flailing them around, they make contact with you, and the sticky, sour-smelling substance drips from its hands and sticks to you.
Ew.
He is now stuck to your body. The second one will strike at the cleric.
Okay.
And misses.
Oh, good.
So, new initiative. What are you doing?
I have my torch. I can see my character sheet that I'm carrying a torch. So I'm going to attempt to burn the creature that is attacking our fighter.
Okay. And the cleric and the fighter?
I am going to get out a torch and I'm going to light it. So this run, that's what I'll be doing for my action.
Okay. And Kale then.
He's going to take out a flask of oil and bash it over the creature so when Jason hits it with the torch.
Good plan.
Okay. Initiative, please.
2.
Ooh, well done. Stonlom, you go first.
And what happens? I'm torching him up.
Oh, you're torching him up?
Yeah.
Okay, you press forward, strike him with your torch, roll to hit, please.
Okay. 19.
Ooh. You hit.
All right.
Please roll me damage, D6.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, like a club.
4.
I will take care of the rest. He howls in pain as the fire touches him.
Oh.
It melts.
Burns!
Wow.
It burns at some of the substance stuck to his body, and it melts on his arm.
Great. Yeah. Creatures made out of gorilla glue.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Kaelden.
Who is throwing the flask of oil onto the now burning.
Okay, you are throwing it on. Roll to hit, please. Missile weapon.
Missile. 17, yeah!
Woohoo!
Well done. You have hit. It sails across, smashing over the creature, and the fire burns even brighter. It howls even more.
Nice.
Isaac, it is now your turn.
Yep. I am, since I didn't have a torch out before, I'm getting out a torch and lighting it now, so that'll be my action this turn.
Okay. So, let me get this all down. So, it is now their turn. The one who is on Kaelden attempts to pull him into a bear hug.
Ooh.
Please make a strength check for me, Kaelden.
Strength check. Ooh, I rolled a natural 20. Jeez, what a time to roll that.
Oh, man.
Ouch. And he pulls you into his bear hug, sticking you to his body. You can feel the sour-smelling substance secrete all over your body and stick him to you.
Oh, man. That's like the Blue Oyster Club.
You are now bound together. And, of course, the one who is burning burns. He keeps burning.
Yeah.
However, roll me a, you know what, don't roll me anything.
Sure.
You are...
Oh, yeah, well, I will. Oops.
You are not surprised, at least not in the game term, surprised to see two more of the humanoid figures drop from the ceiling. Using
drop
their
bears!
Using their secretions to break their fall.
Yeah.
Splat.
So, new initiative. What is everyone doing?
Magic missile on the ones that are drop bears from the ceiling.
Okay. Let's see. What is the cleric doing?
I'm going to strike at one of the creatures with my torch. You want me to hit the one that's on your character there, Vince?
Sure.
All right, yeah, I'll go after that one. Like, I'll smack it in the head or the back or something.
Okay, and Kaelden?
Try to find a comfortable position to be stuck to him by. There's not much I can really do.
Ooh, jump in the water. I yell, jump in the water.
Yeah, that's real smart. So I think it'd sink me to the bottom.
I don't know. Maybe the water will get it off. I don't know.
Can I jump in? Well, sure, why not? Let's commit suicide. Let's jump into the water with the thing attached to me.
Okay, maybe not.
Okay. Roll for initiative, please.
4.
Oh, and they go first. The new ones move up. They see Kaelden bound by the first. One of them moves up to strike the cleric.
Yeah.
And the other moves up to strike the magic user.
No, my spell!
So, please. They... First one. The one... The first one striking the cleric misses.
Okay, good.
On.
And... The second one misses.
Okay. Yo! I can still cast a spell.
Yay!
Yay!
So...
Oh, Monty Python, yay.
Yeah. Yay.
Yay. Ah, but there is still one more on the cleric.
Oh, boy.
And he hits.
No!
Striking me with his fist, he makes contact. And his foul-smelling substance sticks to your skin.
Ooh. Ew, 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 ew!
It is now your party's turn, good fellows. Good magic user, you let off your magic missile and it soars through the air. And you have two, correct?
Yep, two magic missiles. I'm just both going to put them right at the same guy.
Okay, roll me damage, please.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to just roll them both at once. Got a 2 and a 3, so that's a 3 and a 4.
Okay.
3 and a 4 on one guy.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so he lets out a howl of pain as it erupts through his chest. However, it seems to do a little bit more than it normally would against a human.
Oh. If only I had another one of those magic missiles.
Yeah.
What do you mean, in Ovoli? You didn't memorize it multiple times?
Yeah, you know, at least I've got detect magic and knock.
That'll help.
No, yeah.
If you want, I can check on him later.
Please.
And so, Kaelden, you are attempting to dive into the water with the creature stuck to you.
Yes, Aquaman style.
Okay, Aquaman style. You dive into the water, and it pulls you down.
As I thought it would.
Oh, you know, it was just a suggestion. You didn't have to do it.
I'm getting into the Shatner Khan position right now. Khan! Looking at you, Nick.
Hey.
It was the cleric. Please, yeah. Make your move.
Well, So he's stuck to me now, this guy?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Do I need to make a strength check, like you said, or?
If you would like to break free.
Is my, the arm where I have my torch, I'm holding on to it. Is it still free?
Yes.
I'm going to burn that puppy.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Roll the hit.
How's 17 strike you? Actually, 18 with the plus one for the bless.
18. Bum, bum, bum. With an 18,
yeah.
You strike it.
Nice.
Please, roll me damage. D6?
Okay. Yes. 6 points.
6 points. Well done.
Burn, baby, burn. Disco Inferno.
So, you deal... Let's see. 1, 2, 3. You deal You deal your damage. It lights. It catches fire and howls in pain as it smokes his arm.
Nice. Now so. I got to pull myself free so I won't burn either.
So, it is now a new initiative. What is everyone doing?
So, how close are we to the river? I mean, where are we positioned respectively?
You're basically right at it.
So the river's at our backs?
Yes.
Or at our fronts, I guess. Okay, and they came up from the side. Okay. I've got a scroll that I want to read a spell off of, but I'm going to have to get out of the way here in order to make sure that I can actually do this. So I'm going to try to they were shambling, right? So I'm going to run, kind of outrun them a bit so I can get over and read this scroll.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to be it'll probably be another round before I can actually, you know, do the reading, but that's what I'm basically doing right now. I'm going to get in a position for that. And while I'm at it, you know, since I'm running, if I can take my backpack that has my spell book and everything that's, you know, could be damaged by water in it, if I could throw it across to the other side of the river.
Okay.
So that it's out of harm's way.
Is this a spell that starts with fire and ends with ball by any chance?
No, the best I've got is burning hands, but at least it's more fire.
Okay.
Okay, so, Isaac, what are you doing? That's the cleric.
Yes. I'm going to try to pull myself away from this thing since it's burning now. It's obviously on fire right now, right? Or is it just kind of smoldering? It is on fire?
It has caught fire. However, the fire seems to get smaller with every second that passes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just try to hit it again then.
Okay. And Kaelden, you're kind of in the water.
Well, does it look like the thing is affected by the water at all?
Not really. No.
Fine.
I mean, it's holding its breath. You can tell. However, it seems to be pulling you down.
Well, I'm going to attempt to hold my breath and out-breath it and give it the stink eye while we're floating down.
Okay. So, initiative, please.
All right. One.
Well done. Stonlom, you rush over and attempt to throw your backpack over the side. Please roll me a dex check.
Okay, let's see here. What is my dex again? So just a straight dexterity check?
Yes.
So dexterity is 14, I think. And yes. 9.
You successfully throw your backpack across the stream.
Okay, so the only thing basically that I was keeping with me was the stuff that's, you know, I was throwing the backpack with the watery stuff. I've still got my scroll and my torch.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, Kaelden, you're in the water, and you're giving it the stink eye.
Gurgle.
You should be able to, like, try to at least pull yourself out of there.
It's pulling him down.
Yeah, it's pulling me down.
The creature. Can you... Isaac, you are attempting to swing at it. Please swing at it.
Yeah, again with the torch, and... I rolled an 11 plus 1 for the bless, so B12.
Okay. Let us see here. 12 and... Bum-ba-ba-bum. You miss.
Darn.
So, okay. it is now their turn. Kaelden, as the one on you pulls you down... It secretes more of its sticky substance, and you are released.
Huh. Woohoo!
However, it seems to be shifting around from behind you as if to get into a dominant position.
Whoa now, this is a GB podcast. Hey.
Yeah. A different kind of monster.
Yeah, really.
And now, the one stuck to you, Isaac, will attempt to pull you in closer. Oh, roll terrific. Me a strength check.
Okay, so below my strength?
Yes.
I got a 5.
How much farther is that from your strength?
Let's see. I got a strength of 13, so
8 points. And you successfully keep it at bay.
Oh, good. I'm a history major. I'm not good at math.
Not the math podcast.
The second one that was on you attempts to come up from the side of you and hit you. Please. Oh, and misses. It seems that your attempt to keep the other one away has also kept the one that coming at you from the side away.
Nice.
And Stonlom, the one chasing you, seems to follow. However, it must reach you before it can strike you.
All right, so I'm going to read the scroll and read the Burning Hands.
Okay, which leads to what Kaelden and Isaac are doing.
Okay.
Nick, go ahead.
Okay, all right, I'll go ahead. I'm going to hit this puppy again.
With the torch, okay.
Yep, 19 plus 1, 20.
Okay, that's a definite hit.
Okay.
And roll for damage.
Ooh, 6 points of damage again. Sweet!
Excellent. And it collapses, burning at your feet.
Yay! I think I'm probably going to go help the fighter then after this.
And pulls you down with it.
Ah, oh!
No, I'm just kidding. No. As it falls, its hand secretes more of the substance and it releases you.
Oh, interesting.
So, Kaelden, what are you doing?
Well, you said it secreted some stuff and let me go, sort of.
Yes, it did. Well, and it's attempting to shift around behind you to gain a dominant position.
Well, I'm going to scurry away and go back up to the surface and get back on ground, if I can.
Okay. You can attempt that. Roll me a dexterity check for swimming.
Under it?
Yes, please.
Woohoo! 5.
Well done. You pull yourself up, and you breathe a strong breath. You are now above water, but it will take you next turn to get to the shore, to get to land.
Okay.
Okay, and Stonlom, you are reading the scroll. What spell are you using?
Burning Hands.
Burning Hands. And the casting time on that?
1 segment.
1 segment. Okay. So, you release it on which of them? Just the
guy who's chasing after me. I'm going to be holding my hands out at him now that will burn him if he gets near me.
Okay,
basically, so what it does is jets of flame will be shooting out of my fingertips, so I don't actually have to touch him to do it. I can actually make like a fan of flames at him and just, you know, shoot him right at him.
Nice.
Okay, so you raise your hands, cast the spell, and as the flames shoot from your hands, I need you to roll me damage.
Okay, well, actually, this one is, I think it's the damage is just based on my level. So, yeah, it's just 1 hit point of damage for each level of the experience of the spellcaster. So that'd be 4 points of damage.
Okay, the fire shoots from your hands and hits the creature. However, it doesn't seem to be as affected by it as it was by the other fires. It keeps progressing on, never letting out a scream as it did, so, as the others did.
Natural
the
fire.
Extra magic missile was not as big of a deal as it is with the burning hands.
So, it is now their turn. They will rush up, and the one that's on you, the magic user, will rush up and attempt to swing at you.
Okay.
And misses.
Phew.
The one on the curate, the cleric, will strike at him, seeing as how his fallen foe has let go, and makes contact.
Ow!
Dealing 2 points of damage.
Ow!
And he is now stuck on you. He will attempt to pull you in closer.
Stuck on you. I got this feeling that what?
I was thinking the same thing too.
And the second, and the one in the water with Kevin swims after him.
They swim,
grabbing at him or attempting to grab him, and misses.
Oh, thank God. Ooh.
They swim.
So, new round. What is everybody doing?
These guys are tough. I am going to swim for it. This is why I threw my stuff across, because I thought I might have to swim for it, and I didn't want it getting wet. So I'm going to swim for it, try to get across to the other side of the river.
Okay. Let's see. Kaelden, what are you doing?
I'm going to go to the other side of the river as well at this point.
Okay. I'm the only other one on the side of the river. This side of the river. Great.
Isaac, you are being pulled in by the creature. What are you doing?
I guess I'll try to make a strength check and pull myself away.
Okay. Roll initiative, please.
All right.
5.
Oh, you actually beat me. Nice. Go for it. It's Stan Lam. You are diving into the water. Make a dexterity check for swimming.
Okay. 16.
Ooh.
I have a 14 dex.
Oh. Ooh. And you fall into the water, pulling yourself, and you fall, you swim down.
I'm not swimming so good is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get across. You're not able to control yourself to the extent that you would like to.
Yeah, I should have swum better.
Kaelden, you must attempt to swim to the other side. Please roll me a dexterity check as well.
All right. 10. That's below 13, so I'm good.
You make it to the other side.
Yay.
Isaac, please roll me a strength check.
Okay. 8. That's 5 below, I believe, my strength. 8. Yep, 5 below my strength.
And you pull yourself off of it.
Oh, good. I guess I'm going to run next round, and hopefully they won't hit me.
So, the one that was on Isaac realizes that its grip has been broken and will attempt to swing again at you.
Oh, brother.
And it strikes at you and misses. The one that was on Kaelden is attempting to force his way out of the water onto shore and can't seem to pull himself out of the water.
Yeah.
And the one that was on Stanlam dives in the water and you never see him come above. He just sort of dropped like a stone.
Blub, blub, blub.
So, that would be new initiative. What is everybody doing?
Well, I'm going to keep trying to swim to the other side.
Okay. Go for it. And then, Isaac, what are you doing?
Well, I can either stay. How many of them are left?
3.
I am outnumbered, so I am going to go run and try to swim across the river, too.
Okay. And just to be clear, there's only one on you. There's one on each of you. So that's why there's 3.
Okay.
And Kaelden, you are on the other side of the river. What are you doing?
Pulling myself up to the ground and getting ready to help the magic user out of the water.
Okay. So, initiative, please.
3.
Keep beating me. Okay. So,
good.
Stanlam, dexterity check, please.
Okay. 9. That's successful.
Yes. So you swim across. You swim across and attempt to pull yourself up onto land, which is where Kaelden comes in.
Yay.
Kaelden is there and helps you pull up onto land.
Thank you, strong fighter.
You're welcome, weak, frail magic user.
And Isaac, it is yours. You are yep. You're unladen by the burden of this creature. You're attempting to swim, correct?
I'm going to swim across to meet my companions.
Okay.
All right.
You dive into the water. Roll me a dexterity, please.
All right. I got a 50-50 chance. I got a dex of 10. I rolled a 4.
Well, you are pulling yourself across at a slower pace because of your armor. But you seem to be making progress.
Oh.
Now their move. The one that dove in for Stonlom that hit the bottom like a rock. You never see him break the surface.
Glub, glub, glub.
The one that was pulling itself towards Kaelden is attempting to pull, or is attempting to swim at you, and again seems to be making little progress.
Glug, glug, glug.
However, the one that was Isaac dives in the water and seems to be making some progress towards you.
Well, there's always one.
New round. What is everybody doing?
Are you over here, Nick, yet or no?
Not yet. I'm probably about halfway right now. I don't know.
Okay.
He's making his way. Yep, he's almost there.
I probably need one more check, and maybe I'll get there. I don't know.
I say when you get over here, we run like bandits in the night. Get the heck out of here.
Run away screaming like little girls?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I'm good with that.
I'm going to help you out.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, let's help Nick.
Let me think about this. So we've got these stalactites and stalagmites hanging around, right?
Yes.
Are there some hanging over the top of where these guys are? I mean,
yeah, they're all over the place.
Here's my thought. How many are still up and around? I was losing track.
There are three. However, one of them has not broken the surface of the water. One of them is just sort of stuck floating there, trying to keep his position. And one seems to be slowly moving across towards you.
So they're all in the river, though.
Yes.
Okay, so the one that's making his way across the most successfully, I'm going to cast a knock spell on the stalagmites or tites above him.
Okay.
See if I can cause them to rain down upon him.
Ah.
Okay, give me a second. Let me pull out my player's handbook.
Yeah, it's not, you know, this is DM's discretion as to what that's going to do.
Knock is a second level spell.
Yes.
Okay.
It's really meant for opening doors, but I figure, maybe.
Opening rocks.
Sure, for pure creativity purposes, I'll let that fly.
Yay!
Woohoo!
And Isaac?
Swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Okay.
And
I rolled a 3. Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're just giving actions right now.
Just actions.
Oh, darn. Darn. Okay.
I'm going to be ready and waiting and helping the cleric on land.
Okay. So, initiative, please.
3.
Oh. And it is their turn, the creature's turn. The one that is making progress pushes forwards towards the cleric.
Mm.
And just sort of sinks underneath the top.
I like that.
Glub, 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 go bye-bye.
And the other two just sort of do what they were doing. One of them has not broken the surface, and the other one just seems to be floating there. So, Isaac, no, Stonlom, you are first. You are right. Casting the knock spell.
Yes.
So, what is the casting time on that?
Actually, let me check. The casting time is... Delay. One segment. Awesome. Just one it's segment. It's purely verbal. I just knocked down some stalag some things.
Stalags.
So as the cleric pushes his way through, which I'm going to need a roll for.
Okay. All right, now I'll make my roll. Should I make my roll now?
Yes, please.
Okay. Damn it. It fell. 10 on the nose.
Okay. So, as you progress forward, almost losing your swimming stroke, his knock spell goes off, knocking off one of the stalactites, and as it falls, it impales one of the creatures.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Nice.
And
how many feet up? That's like D6 times, well, whatever, how many feet up?
Impaled.
Okay.
Impaled usually means gone.
Okay. Impaled.
Impaled!
And you never see it break the surface of the water again.
Really? No kidding.
So, Kaelden, the cleric comes within reach.
Help me!
You successfully pull him in, unless you're just going to leave him there.
It was a suggestion.
And you are now...
My cleric's intelligence is 7, okay?
Duh.
You are now all on the opposite bank of the stream. With two of the creatures who haven't broken the surface, and one of them who is fighting to stay above. What do you do?
Run.
My way.
Run away.
Run away.
You run away from the stream, pressing on through the cavern, and eventually leaving the cavern in general. Oh, you have completed the encounter.
Yay!
Ooh, they were vicious.
All right. Well,
that's fun.
Well, sticky, if anything.
Definitely come back.
Steven, that's what I call a sticky situation.
Nick, you want to take a guess?
It's an adherer. The adherer.
That is correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
Nick, you get a prize. No prize for you this week.
All right, so next week we will talk a little bit about the adherer. And in the meantime, Steven, thank you very much for being an excellent guest DM for us here on the show.
That was cool.
Trying to kill us all.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you.
Almost successfully, I tell you.
Okay. Have a great day, guys.
All right. So, yeah.
Ooh, one of those electronic voting dealies.
All right. Cool. That was an awesome creature feature, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, he did a great job.
We got in a sticky situation there.
Nice. The whole time we were doing that, I was sitting here flipping through my DM's guide and my wilderness adventure or wilderness survival guide looking for swimming rules.
Nice.
So I like the way he handled it, you know, going at it with a, just rolling against your dexterity. I think that was a really good job of, you know, making a decision on the fly. There are some swimming rules, so we might even want to look at these at a later date. I know, Vince, you actually did a thing. Didn't you do something on waterborne adventures in your Save or Die show?
Oh, yeah, we did do a whole thing on it with basic D&D on Sea Adventures, we called it. And there really aren't many rules in basic for Sea Adventures, so we were just giving our opinions on what on-the-fly calls for it. So,
well, you know, Tim Kask was saying something at the... at the charity auction at Gen Con about a different system that Gary Gygax had done later, and I think it was with Legendary Adventures, where a lot of things were just based on common sense, and he just said, look, if you fall into the water and you're wearing chainmail and carrying, you know, an anvil in your arms, you're going to drown.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And if you kind of go back to the Dungeon Master's Guide, it's going more or less along those lines. It's saying, look, if you're wearing armor, you're not going to be able to swim. If you're in magical armor or none or maybe some leather, you can do a little bit. And it has some basics in there. And then you can go to the Wilderness Survival Guide and get some more specifics if you wanted to play with those rules.
Have we done a show on underwater adventures? I thought we did. I couldn't remember.
No, well, there was a question in Sage Advice way back when.
Yeah.
Someone was asking
maybe
about.
Maybe we should do a show about that. We could talk about.
I think it'd be fun.
Like, yeah. Because
there's different rules. You know, you can, if you like to go with the survival guides. I mean, I know people's opinions are divided on the Wilderness and Dungeoneer Survival Guide, but we could take a look at the different ways of handling that.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good to me. And so the 10-foot pole. As we were asking.
Oh, yes.
The 10-foot poll. Our poll was, where did you first hear about the show? I actually do not have the site up because my browser just crashed. Thank you,
okay,
Jason.
So starting from the bottom, we have the in last place is a flyer at a convention or store, and that is with 0 votes. Ooh. So that would be 0%.
Zero.
So that's a shame. We like our flyers, but maybe we'll hand more of them out. Email from a friend is up. Next one up. 3% of the people heard about it from email from a friend.
Cool.
5% heard about us mentioned on another podcast.
Ooh.
So I don't know which one, but thank you, whoever podcast mentioned us.
You're welcome.
Google, 5%. This is raising as many questions as it's answering, actually. Google is 5%. Yeah. 6% was through word of mouth, which I, you know, think most people interpret as somebody physically telling them.
Yeah.
8% through Facebook.
Oh.
So let's see. And I wonder if maybe just that's a smaller number because the people who are on Facebook spend more time on our Facebook page than they do coming over to answer our poll. Possibly. D20 Radio is 16%.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Then coming up above that, with 23% of the people that first heard about us through dragonsfoot.org.
Mm.
Ah. So no surprise. I mean, it's the best place on the web for first edition AD&D. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, people are coming from there. And in first place and telling me that I should have come up with another answer for this is Some Other Way with 34%. So
I wonder what the Some Other Way is.
Crystal ball.
I think it would be great if people could let us know. You know, whether you do it on Facebook or in the forums or comment on this story. I'd love to know. So if you heard about it on another podcast, what podcast was it? So we can maybe thank them and say nice things about them too. If you found us on Google, I'd love to know how. I mean, what were you looking for? Were you looking specifically for us or what? What Some Other Way? What was that way? I'd love to know.
My carrier pigeon.
I have been sending out a lot of pigeons lately. We've got plenty of them here in New York. You know, we've got a surplus, so I thought, why not write something on their right? You know, I gave them bracelets.
Hey, I know. Maybe it was Nick. Maybe it was the ice cream man.
Yeah, we give everybody ice cream.
So David Lee Roth told them that could be it too.
Maybe David Lee Roth is listening at this moment.
He is your ice cream.
I doubt it.
Man.
Hello, future people. All right, so I think that's going to wrap things up. Did we have any last-minute news to give out?
No, I can't.
I think I kind of gave it away at the beginning that we're going to have the, you know, the module coming out sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right.
Do you want to? When again is that convention that's coming up? Do we have that info? The one that we're going to be going to in Long Island?
Oh, Icons.
That's a ways away, isn't it?
It's in April.
That's in April. Yeah, mid-April.
Okay, we'll talk about it more in April.
Yeah.
Well, coming up to April. Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, give us a call, 570-865-4210, the RFI hotline.
Hotline,
yes. Or you can email us at what, Nick?
Oh, ha-ha.
RFIstaff@gmail.com. Or DM Nick at RFIPodcast.com. Is it DM Jason or just Jason at RFIPodcast?
Just Jason. Just plain old Jason.
Plain old Jason at RFI.com. RFIPodcast.com. Wow, Nick, you're rubbing off on me now. And I think that's going to wrap up the show for this week. Next week, we'll be back, and I think maybe we'll do something on Sea Adventures.
Sounds good.
Sea combat or something. I don't know. Sounds like a good idea.
I'll bring my parrot an eye patch.
Yarr. Keep it original. Keep it old school, mateys. Okay, that was bad. See you later.
Roll for initiative.